Good morning, 7:39 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Something we haven't talked at all about today, and probably won't talk much about, but, you know, Eglin has closed off some of the access close to their facilities, 1,000 foot into the water. And as somebody who's paddleboarded some of those areas, I'm glad we paddleboarded it before it was restricted. But there has been a lot of, like, language talk and not so much the pictographic, the, you know, being able to see it on a map. I shared a post from Eglin, actually, on our Facebook page at News Radio 92.3, where you can see all of the maps of all the locations that this would affect, if that matters to you. Mike Wood is the Public Information Officer for the Pensacola Police Department, and he joins us every Thursday. Mike, welcome back to the show, sir.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. So you guys had a follow-up arrest on a homicide from about 9 months ago?
Yeah, it occurred 9 months ago. The victim was sitting on his front porch. A vehicle drove up. Three individuals got out of it and shot at him, striking him in the head and killing him. This was 9 months ago, and which is a long time, especially for the family, as well as it is for the investigators. But it just goes to show that these investigators at the Pensacola Police Department do not and will not ever give up on any case. They're going to follow through no matter how long it takes. And fortunately, we were able to make an arrest yesterday.
There's not only no statute of limitations on homicide, but there is no statute or there is no limitation on the concern that police officers care for those kinds of cases. So I appreciate that. What do we know what was the motive? Do we know any of the other surrounding details about the case?
Well, the case is still under investigation, so I have to keep a little bit of that to myself. But, it's difficult to say sometimes initially, but throughout the course of the investigation, motive and those things like that do come forward. So, again, this one's still active, so I need to keep quiet on that for the time being.
Well, I'll ask you maybe a clarifying question. No homicide is justified except in self-defense, okay? But random dude sitting on his porch gets ambushed by three people in a car. I care about that in a different way than if the person who was the target was targeted because of criminal activity or something like that. You get what I'm saying? Do we even know sort of category A or category B here, can you say?
Well, I can tell you that it wasn't random.
Okay.
So this, you know, as far as a danger to the public and that sort of thing, that wasn't the case.
Okay. Well, that's and that's why I mean, they're all homicides. They all need to be prosecuted. We can't have people shooting each other. But I just in my brain, I handle these things a little bit differently. I wanted to ask you follow up from the parade. I told the mayor yesterday it didn't even occur to me to go down on Main Street and look when the road was closed. It just didn't slip my brain after we talked about it so much. How did traffic go on Saturday?
Andrew, it couldn't have gone any better. The plan was well executed. It was well thought out. And we had zero problems. We had zero arrests. We had zero tickets. We did not have to tow a single vehicle. And traffic flowed exactly the way it was supposed to avoid the area. The people that did need to get through, that needed to get to homes and businesses south of Main Street, were able to do that. And we were able to get them out of there when they were getting off work. So it couldn't have gone any better, to be honest with you.
So there was no congestion in the surface streets north and east of Bayfront and north and west on Main. There was just not a congestion issue in the area?
No, they flowed well on the east side up 9th Avenue, on the west side up A Street, just like it was planned. So, you know, there were a few people that were caught by surprise, but there was signage out, there were officers out, and it went very well. And I see that plan happening again in the future.
So to be clear, what you're saying is that Andrew McKay was completely 100% wrong.
Well, if the shoe fits.
Hey, what did I say? I hope I'm wrong. I'm glad to be wrong. So then the follow-up question is, what does this mean for the plan for, like, Fiesta and subsequent parades?
Well, again, this is a situation where we expected a huge crowd, and there was because of the weather. And it's going to depend on the event. We look at the weather leading up to it, the amount of people that may be coming down there. All of that is taken into account when we're making plans. But one thing I can tell you for sure is before these events, we will go through you guys in the media and our social media to let everybody know what our plan is on the traffic direction.
Okay. And I know I felt very safe. I felt, you know, looking around at some of the changes, I don't know how visible it was to everybody else, but I knew what I was, what I needed to be looking for. And to me, it was really obvious some of the things that had been done to enhance security, particularly from the threat of a vehicle being misused. You know, it was my pleasure to do a little bit of cheerleading for you all on the parade route. You know, that was kind of fun. I don't know if you heard that. I did a little bit of that on the parade route. It was kind of fun. They gave me the mic, so I'm going to cheer for PPD. Why not? But yeah, no, I thought the event went. Go ahead.
Yeah, I wanted to thank, too, it wasn't just us. We had a lot of help from the Scambia County Sheriff's Office. We want to thank Sheriff Simmons for that. We also had help from the Florida Highway Patrol and the Florida Department of Law Enforcement. So there was a heavy police presence there, and fortunately, it wasn't everything went safe. It went well for us.
No, I agree. There were a lot of different cop cars and uniforms, and the uniforms you didn't see because they weren't wearing any. A lot of people there, and it was, I mean, it was clear. It was clear that it was run well. That was great. It's a kind of an odd thing, but I know you were interested in this because I know you had posted on your social media that you thought one of the best moments of the State of the Union address or joint address, whatever you want to call it, was the kid. The kid who was in the process of beating or had beaten cancer and had been deputized in several law enforcement agencies, got the Secret Service appointment. And it kind of made me think about, you know, a lot of kids say they want to grow up and be a thing. I wanted to be a dentist, then an architect, and then, I don't know, anything. But never talk radio host. That was never on the agenda. So is it common for kids to dream about being cops? And how many of them follow through if you have any? I mean, I don't know. Is that a thing?
Well, I have a little personal experience in that. I wanted to be a police officer since I was in the first grade. And the reason for that is I had a bicycle stolen out of my yard when I was a first grader. My parents called the police. A short time later, when the police car pulled up to the house, the trunk was halfway closed, and there was a bicycle tire sticking out of it. And I ran to the back of that cruiser, and sure enough, it was mine. The officer on the way over saw a bicycle in a ditch. He picked it up in hopes that it was the right one, and it was. And Andrew, I thought that guy was the best person in the world, and I wanted to be him. So
what
that was,
a great
and that was in the first
story.
Grade. So,
that's amazing.
Yeah,
all right.
And, I mean, it stuck with me all my life, and my parents kind of used it, not against me, but used it went through my teenage years, high school years. You've got to stay out of trouble or you'll never get that job. You've got to have good grades or you'll never get that job. And I was scared to death of not getting that job, so I did exactly what they told me to do. And didn't have, you know, you can't hang around the wrong people, that sort of thing. So it worked well, but you know, a lot of kids have that dream, and then it goes by the wayside, whether it be life circumstances or they find out that there's a lot of ugly things involved in police work, which there is. But I did a little quick research this morning, and only 20% of children that at a young age, sort of like this 13-year-old at the address the other night, stick with it and become police officers. I wish that number was higher, but it's around 20%.
I actually think that's pretty high, given how many times people change their dreams and goals over the course of their lives or through experience or whatever. So 20% actually seems like a pretty high number to me, just, you know, comparatively. But, oh, no, I love that story. I mean, I think that's a fabulous story. And I think your parents were really savvy for using your dream as an incentive, you know, to keep you on the right track so that you can accomplish your dream. That's honestly, that's what parents are supposed to do, right? So that's, you know, that's fantastic. We always like to end with a did you know or a cop myth. The one today actually comes out of, we've been having sort of texting conversations and conversations on the air about warrants and ICE in the schools and all of that. And I went on a warrant service with the sheriff's office, a low risk narcotics warrant. So it wasn't, you know, particularly aggressive, but it wasn't just to show up at the door and knock and show the paper. And that was the question, is if the police come to your door and they're not breaking it in, which under certain circumstances they're justified in doing, can you ask for the paper? Do they have to show you the paper, the warrant, you know, kind of like you see on TV? Do you have a warrant? Yes, it is. Here it is, ma'am. Does that happen?
Yes, we have the warrant. And we will show that to them, but it depends on the circumstances. If it's an emergency where we believe someone is getting hurt inside or evidence is being destroyed, then we simply don't have time for that. We'll get to that later. But yes, we do have to have an active warrant and before that is executed.
Very good. But if a homeowner in a low acuity situation asks for the warrant, like, you know, you say, I'm here to arrest your kid or whatever, you can ask and it has to be provided, right?
Yeah, there's no reason not to. There's no reason to inflame the situation by just saying that we'll get to that later or we don't have it right now. So you need to have that with you and show that to them. And 90% of the time, it's going to go flawlessly. The person's going to let the law enforcement do what they need to do.
And everything you do is strategizes around making it go flawlessly. So I appreciate that. Mike Wood, he is the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Mike, as always, thanks for the time. Thanks for keeping us safe and keeping us informed. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you.